Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away. Upon a golden strand, ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea, I'm here on business for my king. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled, thus saith my Lord and King. O be ye reconciled to God. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 15. Thus saith the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity. and I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord. The sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and to destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. This is what Jeremiah had to write, and then he stated of himself, Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. So far we read God's holy word as it pertained to Judah at that time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. We give thanks that thou art with us, evidently still repenting and not sending judgment, though we have experienced judgment in lesser ways on part of our country, in fire, wind, flood, calamities that have hurt some dying, some injured, some in sorrow, some homeless. We know, Father, that it is but small in comparison what took place over the whole land of Judah, and particularly in Jerusalem, those 2,600 years ago. We know, Father, that it was, as we read, because of the sins of Manasseh, also the sins of the people at that time later that continued to sin and would not repent at the preaching of Jeremiah. We pray, Father, that we might have such preaching again today, as Jeremiah did at that time, that we might have, as also we have had in our nation. We think of the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield and others who proclaimed thy word at that time and called the church back to an awakening, to repentance, to faith, to right doctrine, to obedience. And we pray, Father, that there might be such an awakening again in our nation, both for us as a people, in our churches, our homes, but also for our government. We pray for them, each one in government. Thou hast told us to pray for kings and those in authority. And here we see judgment coming, certainly because of the people, but particularly the king, who was guilty of shedding much blood, is spoken of, and we know that much blood has been shed in our nation through the years by the millions. We pray, Father, that it may not continue, and we pray that when we do recognize it, that we might repent of it, that judgment will not fall on us. As thou hast said, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. We are in that line, and we are in guilt, and thy word is true. And we know that what has been spoken will come, as thou hast said, he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. We give thanks also, Father, for the natural blessings that we have. We give thanks for food and raiment that we have in such abundance, most of us. We pray, Father, that these blessings might continue in the springtime, that there might be the weather for the seed to be sown, and the summer for another harvest that thou hast given us so abundantly through the years. We pray for the countries that are in hunger. We pray for those in sickness, sorrow, injury, broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for our schools, our police, our soldiers. We pray for all the needs that there are in and through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we read these words here in the middle part of the book of Jeremiah, he who was called to bring God's word, in the earlier part of this letter of Jeremiah to the people, we read how God told him to stand in the gate of the temple and to state there that this was no longer the temple of the Lord, even though they said it was, and trusted in it. We may also trust in ourselves, in our churches. If our churches were what they should be, we could, because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, if the truth is there in the church. But we have to ask ourselves, with all the divisions and with all the changes and what we call sometimes liberalism, I heard of it first, probably in the years past, in the church going liberal. Now we hear of it in government. But when it is there in government, where did it begin? Did it begin in the church no longer being a salt and a light in the nation? And the Lord Jesus gave strong warning. He said, if the salt have lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. What a judgment. Good for nothing. The church. Yes, the church should be calling the nation to the truth as it is in Christ. And then the truth in repentance, in faith, in obedience. And then a faith that worketh by love. That's what we need. And we see less and less love in the home, in the nation. One part of our nation showing much hatred toward others, and both accusing each other of hatred. Who had it first? We don't know. It's there. The church should not have hatred. The church should speak the truth in love. But we know that in the time of the Lord Jesus here on earth, and we know that the time of Jeremiah here, 600 years before that, there was hatred from those who were in authority. The princes and the priest said of Jeremiah, smite him in the mouth. Some even said, kill him. And he was put in the dungeon by those that should have been in the place of leadership, should have been leading the people in the way of righteousness. And he had to stand here and say, as we read, woe is me, my mother, that thou art born a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. He stated in another place that he had been faithful as a pastor. We would hardly think of him as a pastor when he is a prophet of judgment, of doom, but he was that as well. And in his complaint, God still reproves him in the last part of this chapter. In this 15th chapter, the 19th verse, God said to Jeremiah, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if you take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Listen again to those last words. Let them return to thee, but return not thou unto them. The church is turning toward the murderers in our city. We're voting for more and more of the party that wants to murder the unborn. Our forefathers wouldn't have done that. We are. And the church shouldn't go along with it. We think of other sins that are there. Sins of the homosexuals. We want to say, it's all right. They're welcome. Yes, they're welcome to hear the word of God. All sinners are welcome. But not to continue. Is the drunkard welcome to continue? Is the thief welcome to continue? Is the proud welcome to continue? When we read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we see strong judgment, strong words against numerous sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, literally all of us are included. The 9th verse, Paul writes to them and to us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Must we lift those out that are abusers of themselves with mankind and say they are in the kingdom of God, but the rest aren't? You know, the worst part of it is, if we don't tell them it's sin, we have no good news for them. The Lord Jesus said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we don't tell all mankind, ourselves included, that we're sinners, then there's no good news. There's no telling that Christ had to die for us, and that he did die for sinners, according to the scriptures. Yes, he came to call sinners. So if we pronounce people righteous in their sin, we have no good news. We cannot say Christ is calling you to prepare for heaven, to be righteous through his death and resurrection and his shed blood. We spoil the whole message if we take away repentance. And that's what Jeremiah had to do, to call the nation to repent. All the way earlier, he was calling them. If we go back to the earlier chapters, Jeremiah chapter 4, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, and return unto me, if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. The 3rd verse of that 4th chapter, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The thorns are to be recognized and rooted up in repentance. That's God's way. That was God's way there for Jeremiah to tell the people, and it's God's way for us today from him, whose name is Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. When we go to the prophet just before Jeremiah, Isaiah, he said that the Lord Jesus would magnify the law. Some want to put that away and say, well, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That is true. Moses couldn't give grace. The Lord Jesus could, but he also said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he taught it. And he taught his witnesses to teach the law as well. The Apostle Paul taught the law of God as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He taught us the law of God in regard to government and living a life of thankfulness to God, as we can find it in Romans chapter 13, part of the sanctified life, or the life of thanksgiving. All of this is in line with what we have here. And God says he's going to bring judgment. He says, "For who shall have pity on thee, O Jerusalem?" That was fulfilled. They didn't believe it. Even when the captivity began, as it was beginning about this very same time, we can read in 2 Kings chapter 24, in his days, the king that was there in Jeremiah's time, first with Josiah and then other kings, and during the king of Jehoiakim, Jeremiah being a prophet, it said the king of Babylon came, Jehoiakim served him 3 years, and then he rebelled. And Nebuchadnezzar would come different times and take a group of captives. The next time he came, after he put Jehoiakim in subjection, he took him to Babylon, and he was there. He was there in captivity until another king set him free about 30-some years later. The captivity went on for 70 years. At the end of the 70 years, listen to the words of Daniel. He said, "He hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth." That's where we are today. We're not turning. Will we have the same thing sometime in the future, as somebody will talk about, like Daniel is, our cities come under God's judgment? If there's not repentance, they will. Why? God said to Noah, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." We have many shells in the Bible, both toward blessing and toward cursing. When God wants to, by his grace, give salvation, it shall take place. Read the last part of Isaiah 53, speaking of the gospel of Christ. "And then he shall be satisfied. He shall accomplish what he set out to do." Over and over, shall, shall, shall. But here we have God speaking a shall toward the shedding of blood. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." We're as guilty as Judah was. Again, going back to the time of Jeremiah, as it's recorded, not only by Jeremiah, part of it, but it's recorded also in 2 Kings, recorded in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Kings, we read, "After Nebuchadnezzar came, surely the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did." And then listen to this. "And also for the innocent blood that he shed. And he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not harden." Manasseh was guilty. And so are we. What will you do when we face this? At home, in our cities, in our government. As I've said before, the first I heard of abortion was right here in my home city. Still my teenage, 70-some years ago, I was told where the doctor lived that the girls who were in trouble went. Abortion was there long before the Supreme Court made it legal. It was done. Seemingly, they weren't troubled over it. just stated it matter-of-factly. Innocent blood. Innocent blood. More innocent blood. And then we made it legal. We tried to make it legal, I should say. It wasn't for 350 years since our Pilgrim forefathers. It wasn't for those over 200 years since we became an independent nation. Not till 40-some years ago, we changed the law to suit our wickedness, to suit our murderous ways. Some of our presidents signed vetoes when our Congress would outlaw, especially partial birth abortion. One of our presidents vetoed it. He had a murderous hand. He's guilty of blood of those that were killed in that sad, terrible way. Partial birth abortion. The babies stabbed to death. Probably say we don't want to hear it. And I've had that. When we write about it or talk about it, people want to come up and change the subject or say they're against it but don't want to hear about it. Why? Because we're allowing it to continue. We need to stop it. Stop it in the church and speak up. Be a salt again. Do like God said to Jeremiah. If thou wilt return, and I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vile. The babies are precious, but we who murder them are vile. Do we know the difference? How will you vote? Yes, how will you vote? Will you vote for murderers, those who want to promote it? We have, as I said, liberal ways, some of it call progressive. It's not progressive. We're progressing toward hell, not progressing toward better things. Yes, there will be a climate change from guilt to punishment, eternal fire. That is real. Much of the rest is political, way we talk. It won't be able to put the shell in much of what's spoken of. It's going to happen. Yes, lots of things are said. I was asked a number of years ago what I was going to do in the ice age. The same people that now talk about how it's going to warm up. All talk. But God has the shells. And he shall punish. As Christ said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Will we be in our cities like Jerusalem that Daniel had to say, nothing has happened as bad as that? It did take place. God said it would. It did. And God gives us warning. Will we heed that warning? Will we have an awakening in the church? Will we come back to truth? And particularly, and above all, the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing in his word, hearing it, believing it, repenting, believing, obeying, and be set free.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise